This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and as always, I'll tell you, the weather is beautiful outside, and I'm so glad, as always, you guys are with us today, and I'm excited, because this week has been just really good. It's been really good for me, and of course, every day is good for me, and I think every day can be good for you if we so choose, right? So I'm really thrilled and honored you guys are here with me today, and I wanted to talk about some really cool things I believe will really help each one of you out, all right? Now, I have on the website, identitynetwork.net, I have a package I put together a while back. It's called Leadership Package. I want to encourage all of you, even as I'm talking to you now, to look it up. If you're at your computer, look up identitynetwork.net and just put in Leadership Package, those two words, and press the search button and look it up with me as I go through them. Because today I want to talk to you guys about basically what it means to be a leader, but I also want to share with you the benefits of what these books can do for you in the endeavors of your life, all right? So on the Leadership Package, it includes actually five of my books, which is I Am a Leader, You Are the Game Changer, Divine Direction for Success, The Art of Life Coaching, and You Were Born to Be an Entrepreneur. And the reason why I wanted to incorporate those five books is because a lot of times people don't realize exactly the identity of an entrepreneur, what it means. You know, I once read an article about the millionaire consciousness. And one of the things that this author said about the millionaire consciousness, as far as that was the name of the article, was that millionaires tend to think differently. You know, when you go through day-to-day life and you think of people every day you see, and you might be one of these people, where people always say, oh, I can't shop here, I can't shop here, too expensive. No, I can't shop there, that's just too expensive. You know, let's find something cheap, cheap, cheap. Let's always go, you know, to the cheapest this, the cheapest that. And you know, I'm a really thrifty person as well, I mean, to be honest with you. But one thing I know that I've, throughout the years I've understood, is having money means that you have to change your mindset. And that means that you're going to accumulate more money from different avenues of your life when you begin to have the correct, proper, aligned mindset that is not cheaply given or having what we call a poverty mentality. Now, poverty mentality does not always mean money mentality or lack of money mentality, okay, as we think. Poverty mentality also spills over in every part of our lives. Did you know that? Poverty mentality spills over into really, truthfully, not even keeping things clean, not taking care of the things that you currently own, not really, for lack of better words, polishing up the things that you own now that you know is owned by a king. Hello to each one of you. You're a king and a priest unto God. And understanding the power of treating everything with such a value and a respect. You know, the Bible says something very powerful. It says, if you're faithful in the small things, it doesn't say if you're faithful in the cheap things. It didn't say if you're faithful in the irregular shirt things. It didn't say if you're faithful with, you know, millions of dollars. No, it says, if you're faithful in the small things. Because see, notice something here that most people don't realize. Small things doesn't always mean maybe a car that's of lesser value, and then I'll be faithful and rule over many things, meaning that I'll get a better looking car. I'll go from a Volvo, what's a good car? A Hyundai? I'm going from a Hyundai to a Mercedes. That's not always what it means. And it doesn't always mean I'm faithful with $5, and next time I turn around, God's going to make me faithful and rule over $1 million. That's not how the kingdom of God works. We have to remember that God is not a magic genie and say, whatever your wishes are, they're going to come true. Just speak it and say it, and it's going to happen. Poverty mentality actually represents this. It means people who tend to not really understand the true value and the wealth within the small things that they currently own. So, for example, if you have a yard, and I like to use this example a lot because people tend to not pay attention to the details. If you don't pay attention to details in your life, you will never be faithful in the small things. Because small things, most of the time, are the hidden details, right? You know, if you go to sign a contract with a car and they say, well, I didn't realize it came with this and this and this, or I didn't realize I had to pay this much money. And what do most people say? You know, did you read the fine line? Read the fine print? Did you read the details of the contract? No matter if it's a car, a house, anything. And what that means is small things mean that you're faithful with the details. Let's, for example, I like to use this, let's say details, or as far as detailing your car. Okay, think about that for a moment. You might say, what does that mean, Jeremy? It means whatever it is you have in your life right now, what are the details and what are you detailing about it? Okay, because small things mean that you not only treat it as value, but it means that you see it as worth. Because that's when you begin to understand, I will no longer have a poverty mentality because I don't see the things that I have that might be of lesser value as far as money goes right now in my life. That's not the key thing. I see things not as lesser value. I see things as what I own is like the $1 million car or the $1 million home or the $1 million, you know, shirt that I have or the $1 million, you know, whatever. Because when you have a $1 million mentality, when you have a wealth consciousness, what that is saying to you is the small things of life, you've already read the fine print, the details of the small things, which means you know how to detail it. Are you with me? That means you know how to fix it up, brush it up, make it look good, polish it up. And so when people say to me, well, Jeremy, if you go to, you know, I don't have this kind of money, I can't live in this kind of neighborhood. And I said, that's because you haven't gone through the protocol to get to that neighborhood. You haven't been able to go to the protocol of the kingdom to be able to understand the logistics of what it means to get to that to be that person or to have the mindset of that person. So what you do is you start off with having a wealth consciousness. The Bible says, calling those things that be not as though it were. So when you're dealing with the faithfulness of the small things, in order for God to make you faithful and ruler over many things, what the scripture is talking about is this. It means whenever it is you have, you've got to treat it as if it is the $1 million thing. So therefore, your wealth conscious mentality begins to shoot up. It begins to skyrocket because you begin to understand that it's not even about the things that are of lesser value. It is about changing the mentality of you as the human being to where you understand your own value, your own worth. And so when people, for example, when people say, I'm just thanking God for my Hyundai over here that's got, you know, one tire missing. I thank God for, you know, the hole in the wall I live in over here. You know, I got shoes on my feet and clothes on my back, you know, and thank God. But and then they turn around and say this, and this is what's funny. Then they turn around and say, but one day God's already told me he's going to make me a multimillionaire. And I want somebody to say, do you understand what you're saying? Because this is no lie. 10 out of 10 people, not even 9 times out of 10, 10 out of 10 people, that never happens to. And do you know why? Think about the statement they just said. I thank God for the shoes on my feet and the clothes on my back. They might have holes in them, but one day God's going to bless me with something good. That is not true. You always have to be thankful and have a heart of gratitude for everything you have, spiritually and naturally and even soulishly. How do you treat your emotions? You know what poverty emotions are? Is anger, frustration, sadness, confusion, you know, in the sense of jealousy, competitiveness. Those are what I call poverty thoughts. Those are poverty emotions because a wealth emotion is gratitude for the things you currently have that you are treating as wealth, that you are taking care of, but that you do see the details of it and you are detailing the things you have, and therefore those things are not changing you. Your mindset's changing to see the things you have differently. Your paradigm is different. That's why when some people, let's say for example, when I go to the mall, I love to shop at Macy's. Macy's is one of my favorite stores. You know, I love. This is the Jeremy Lopez. Okay, I love Macy's. I love H&M, and I love the Guess store. I'm a huge Guess fan. If people have ever watched my Facebook Live on Mondays, you pretty much 9 times out of 10 are going to see me in a Guess shirt, a t-shirt or something, because I love Guess clothes. I love H&M clothes. And I love Macy's clothes. Now, a lot of people tell me this. Must be nice to shop at Macy's. And first of all, let me explain this to you. I want to talk to you about tackiness for a moment, okay, as well. When you want to say that to someone, must be nice, I want you to think about how tacky that sounds. What the position you're putting the person to be in, because truthfully, the other person that really hears that statement that says, must be nice to shop at those places, that person should say, yep, it feels absolutely wonderful. I'm glad I shopped there. That's what we should say to people that put us in difficult situations with really ridiculous sayings. Because what you're saying to you, what you're saying to that person, first of all, is A, I am poor and I'm going to announce it to the world, and so I want you to come into agreement with me. And B, they're speaking out of a jealousy of, it must be nice, I wish I could. And so you have to remember, these are tacky, very tacky things to say. It's like, for example, and this is my thing. You know, my family talks about this all the time. It's like going to the restaurant. And you're going to a nice restaurant You got your wife, your husband, your children there, you know, whatever, and you're at a restaurant and it's fine dining and you're eating a dinner, you know, and most poverty people won't even go to a fine dining restaurant because of the money situation, but they don't realize other things about the restaurant doesn't mean everything on the menu is expensive. But anyway, so you go to fine dining and all of a sudden there's nothing worse than going on a blind date, for example, or a date, or your husband, your wife, whatever, or your kids. And all of a sudden the people who are the responsible adults, you know, looks at the menu and the server comes up and he says, well, today we have this and this and this, you know, this, and, you know, what would you like to order today? What kind of drinks do you want, whatever? And it'd be tacky for the person to say, well, how much is your glass of tea? Could you imagine, now go with me for a moment, could you imagine going to a restaurant with somebody and all of a sudden they say, what kind of drink would you like? Would you like a beverage? Would you like some alcohol? You want a cocktail with that? Would you like a Coke or water? What would you like with that, sir or ma'am? Wouldn't it be tacky if that person say, well, how much is the glass of Coke? How much is the glass of sweet tea? Now, for me, I would literally crawl under a rock. I would crawl under the table and say, please, for the love of God, tell me you did not just ask how much a glass of tea is. Because first of all, you know, A, the glass of tea is not going to be $10, okay, or $100. And so it's proving yourself and you're showing yourself to be extremely poor and having a poverty mentality. And once again, let me say this to you as well, okay? Not having a lot of money doesn't make you poor. And I want to set the record straight, okay? It means you might live in some poverty at the moment, but things can change. It depends on how you see yourself and how you see your life and how you treat the things you have, right? And so with those types of attitudes and that way of thinking at a restaurant, for example, is a prime big red flag, for lack of better words, that actually shows you have a severe toxicity that's flowing through your poverty mentality. Okay, that's the best way to put it. Hyped up. Because you have to understand what you're saying. Are you really that poor that you can't afford a glass of sweet tea for $1.50 versus $1 versus $2 of a glass of sweet tea? Are you with me? Or iced tea, whatever you want to call it, from depending on the south or the north you live in. And so you have to understand that should be a red flag for you to say, you know what? Am I really that cheap? Am I really that poor? Think about that for a moment. Because the idea is, you know, you're not poor. Okay? Because first of all, if you think about it, you know you've got $1.50 or $2. If not, you wouldn't be going to the fine dining restaurant, or Burger King for that matter, no matter where you go. But what it's saying to you is you have a severe poverty mentality. If you have to ask, knowing that you've got $2 in your billfold or your purse, correct? So you can afford the sweet tea, but the idea that you ask for it should be a red flag to you to say, why would I even ask that knowing I can at least afford $1.50 or $2? Now you might say, well, that's, you know, it's a little silly. Think about that for a moment. Now, it's different, for example, if you are going and you're getting lobster and caviar, whatever the case may be. And still, even with that, I don't ask people how much it is. You know why? Because A, I shouldn't be going there in the first place if I didn't have the money for it. And B, I don't want to show myself in front of people around me that maybe either A, I can't afford it. I just want to be able to have couth. I want to be able to have a little bit of integrity to say, if I came here, I should be able to afford it. If not, I don't need to be walking in the doors there. Are you with me? And that's just one small example. But you've got to understand, within this leadership package, I dive in to the idea of how to think as a millionaire, as a leader. Now, can you be a leader and not have a lot of money? Sure you can. Can you have a lot of money and be like null and void of being a leader? Sure you can. But you have to understand that the best way to be a leader is to live the example of a leader, to have the things a leader would have. And once again, that doesn't mean you have to have a lot of money, but it means you have to have some kind of qualification, some type of something of substance, because the Bible makes it very plain on something that most people don't think about, that how they know you're my disciples? Okay, so here's a good scripture: by the love you have one for another. So there's something that's an afterthought, or something that flows after the disciples of being one of Christ, right? There's another verse that talks about that they'll bear forth fruit. So the thing is that whatever it is that you're doing in your life, you will see fruit following after it. So leaders, true leaders that know how to handle and has a wealth conscious mentality, that is a true bred and born, you know, leader, they understand the concept of how to think and what to say and we're to look for good things, but they also understand that they have to go hand in hand. So as a leader, you need to have some type of structure to know how to manage not just your time and your energy, but also your money, and know how to manage your thoughts, and know how to tame your thoughts, and know exactly what to think and how to think concerning life and the style of your living. Because if you don't, you're going to lose it all eventually. Leadership roles to me are important because they teach us, they show us, they teach us and show us the idea of what to do when I am a leader. Okay, so in other words, as a leader, I have the, not just the qualifications, but I have the ideas of how to treat my world, how to put things into perspective, you know, proper aligned perspective. I look at life and see the protocol. I know what is more important to me right now versus what is less important than maybe if something I can not do or do another day. So I understand the categorization of my life, of where to be able to prioritize and where to categorize certain things to know what is the most important thing right now that I need to do in my life. And this is one thing that leaders with a wealth consciousness mentality understand, and that is this: they know how to take everything in their life, everything, and invest it into making something bigger and better and of better quality, and also that of understanding that it's got to bear forth a lot of fruit, or what I call what? Interest. Whatever I do in my life, I should have interest following that. That's sort of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, think about it when it says, you know, you'll bear forth much fruit from whatever it is you're doing. Think about that from a place of interest. Whatever it is you're doing, you should always have the fruit / the interest following that, where the interest is being paid to you and you're not paying the interest, right? And so people with a wealth conscious understanding know that value. They know exactly how to be able to handle life, body, soul, and spirit. Now then, within these books, I talk about identity, because the main thing you got to realize also is identity. Identity is everything. That will depend, that will determine actually your cash flow or your lack of. It'll determine everything about, you know, who you associate with, what you do, where you invest your energy and your time and your money. And so you got to understand these things of identity is really your whole life. If you don't know who you are and your identity, you will never have money. You will always, always have negative, what I call bad poverty emotions, you know, in you. You will always have paradigms that will keep you limited because you don't understand the quality of abundance of life that has been paid on Calvary for us, right? And abundance of life is given. Here's the thing. Jesus came, the Bible says that Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly, okay? So he came to give life. So he might give it, but the thing is that you've got to receive it. And receiving, let me also tell you something. Receiving, and when I see, you know, of course, I was born and bred charismatic pretty much. And yes, I understand the gifts of spirit. I understand all that. I'm a prophet. Hello. So you know I'm quote unquote charismatic, even though I don't like to lock myself in a box. I'm more of a child of God because I understand a bigger version of God than most Christians do in their four walls of their denomination. Okay? Just being honest. And so when I think of the understanding of what it means to really look at scriptures and understand what it means to really dive into what this represents as far as a wealth conscious mentality, I begin to realize that not everybody is going to go to church and get what they need by someone at the altar or up front, I should say, speaking, saying, everybody just reach your hands up right now and grab a hold of your money, grab a hold of your healing, just grab a hold of it. As if my hands reaching upward is going to truly grab something in the unseen and make it appear. That is not even scriptural, not even biblical. There's not even a scripture that even alludes towards the fact you got to reach up and grab your healing, grab your money, grab this, grab that. Not even biblical. There's not even a scripture that's even likened unto that. But one thing the scripture does talk about many, many, many times is how you think in your heart. You know, understanding the power of casting down vain imagination. You know, the Bible even talks about being separated from God in the mind. In the mind. So you're dealing with mindset. You're dealing with the brain. You're dealing with the thought pattern of humanity. So if you want to change your life, you can grab up. You can grab in the heavens all you want to. And the truth is, There's not one person on this planet who has ever reached up and act like they're grabbing something in thin air, and the next day they begin to start, you know, doing these things. It's never happened, ever. What does happen is when you change your mindset, change your thoughts, change your life. When you change your mind to be that of Christ Jesus, which is the unlimited access of every witty invention and creative idea, of every part of wisdom and knowledge. And by the way, it still doesn't mean you just grab it in the mind and run with it. It means you got to study to show yourself approved. You got to ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock at the door, shall be open. You got to begin to, like God told Elijah, go to Zarephath, Elijah. There you're going to find a woman. That's got a son. You know, like Moses, hey, go here. Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. It's an action. You got to have vision and action behind everything you can. So you can reach up all you want to in the air, and I don't mean to spab, but you're going to look a little silly. And to the world, you're going to look really ridiculous because nothing's happening to you. What happens is when you understand your identity of who you are, and then everything from that wealth that you have understood your identity to be and is becoming, then you begin to attract and you begin to create with action. And before long, you're going to turn around and you're going to have everything you wanted while your neighbor in church is still sitting there going, I'm going to reach up and grab my healing. I'm going to reach up and grab my money. God promised me to be a millionaire. And I'm sitting there going, nah, you know, and you want somebody to say, God love them. They suffer from lack of knowledge. It's called ignorance because we don't understand the concept of the kingdom and how that is initiated with inside of us. If anything that we want to sort of bring some kind of truth to that is don't grab anything upward. If you're going to grab anything, you should reach inside of yourself because the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. If you really want to get a little bit more technical with it, so why grab air? Why grab air? The wind even, the Bible tells us when the wind shifts, it doesn't even, you don't even know what direction it's going to flow in and go in. So it goes to tell you right there that don't do something crazy like that. What you want to do is you want to be able to focus on what is inside of you, which is the kingdom. And the kingdom of God also says there's a treasure in your earthen vessel. That treasure must be opened. So you're going to have some action to open up the top of that treasure and see the Christ within. See the gold and the richness of the wealth value of your identity inside of that, if anything. Are you with me? So you've got to begin to understand. In this series of Leadership Package, I dive into everything from I am a leader that literally hits home. It's like an arrow through your heart about your identity. And then the other one is I talk about is the book You Are the Game Changer. Understanding that you are brought to this earth with everything inside of you to change the system. First of all, not change the system of your nation, not change the system of the world, but change your system, the systematic way in which you've been living and thinking. So then we target the fact that, you know, do you believe that you can change the world, your world first? Do you believe you're a game changer that can literally go in there and not go with the flow, but yet not flow downstream, but swim upstream? That's what leaders do. And then I begin to dive, and there's a lot more to that book than anything. That's a really thick book. Then I begin to dive into the next book called Divine Direction for Finding Success. And within that book, I love because it deals with the power. And I love this because people don't realize success. When people say the word success, and they say, ooh, the word success is not even in the Bible. And I would say you're exactly right. But one thing we do find in the Bible is pressing towards the mark of the high call. Pressing towards the mark, reaching towards the prize. Why on earth would God Almighty use the word prize in the scripture? Think about it. Why on earth would you use the word prize, God? Because a prize is something of like some kind of cheesy contest, or I'm going to run in a marathon, which we love, and I'm going to get a prize. It's, in other words, it sounds very competitive. It sounds like you're running and you're going to outdo everybody to get what you want because there's a prize there. But that's not what it means. What it's saying here is reaching towards the prize or the high call, which means reaching towards the higher version of yourself, of the unlimited side of you, knowing that there's nothing you cannot achieve, nothing you cannot accomplish, because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Those are the places where you realize success, it means that you can accomplish anything you want to do, and you're good at doing it because of the fact you're not a quitter in the sense of you don't stop. You don't stop halfway. Leaders and champions never stop halfway and start something nothing else. They finished the race. They finished because that's what integrity and the spirit of excellence will do for you. It shows you whatever you start, you finish it, and you finish it well, and you top it off with some whipped cream. All right? How's that for my Frappuccino of the morning, which I just had recently? So these are things you have to understand. The next book is The Art of Life Coaching, which actually the subtitle is Secrets of the Hidden Heart. Now, the reason why I incorporated this book within the leadership package is because of this. You've got to know how to manage your life. Look at yourself, for example, as maybe a condo, like a condominium building, or maybe an apartment complex, or maybe an office building. Look at yourself as a building that has many, many rooms, and in each room there might be different companies, or there's different cubicles, there's different offices that deal with presidents and vice presidents and CEOs and workers and co-workers and all these different things. And so imagine your body being that big, tall building, and within inside of you have all the components. You have the departments in you that at any given moment you can walk into the door of one of them to be the CEO of your life, because you're the head and not the tail. All right, you're above and not beneath. And then you can walk into anything to be able to be the vice president, to begin to co-labor with those around you. You have the art in you to co-labor with those around you that maybe are doing a project that they need your help on. Hello, and maybe being second in command. You got to understand all these co-workers inside of you, all these voices, all these powerful things in you are called gifts and callings and talents. And these things are speaking volumes to you to let you know you can be all things to all people, that you might win some. And the art of life coaching also is taking a deeper look within yourself and saying, how should I respond to the situation? Am I reacting? And if I'm reacting, let me learn from that. When people begin to tell me all the time, no one likes me, I love to use this example. No one likes me. My entire family turned their back on me because I'm a Christian. You know, all my friends and family turned their back on me because I'm a Christian. I want to say, I don't believe that. Sorry, folks, I do not buy that. I don't buy that at all. And if you're one of those people I've spoken with in life coaching, you know what I'm about to say. I don't buy into that. You can't tell me that a family of 20 or 30 people, that every single one of them that have different personalities, different ways of thinking, different perspectives of life, that every last one of them are going to turn their back on you because of your belief system in Christianity. I don't buy that at all. What I do buy is what understanding what true persecution means. And the power to be a Christian doesn't mean you're bragging, you're boastful, you're prideful, you speak to people like a dog, you know, that's what we say in the South here, you know, that you're throwing at people's face. And when people even say, I take my Bible to work every single day and I open that Bible, I begin to read my Bible at work. You know, and then they turn around and say, I was persecuted. Why are you persecuted? Because they fired me because I'm a Christian. No, they fired you because you stole from them. You were fulfilling John chapter 10 because you became the thief that lied, killed, steal, and destroyed. Because what you did is you stole the company's time when they're paying you to work. Hello, it wasn't your break, it wasn't your lunchtime. And so you acted like the worst thief ever because you stole their time of paying you to work. So no, you didn't get fired because you're a Christian. You got fired because you're a thief. Hello, folks. You have. That's why we have lunch breaks. That's why we have, you know, maybe 15-minute breaks or whatever you want to call them. For that reason, that's your time they've given you. They've allotted to you to say you can do whatever you want in these times because you need a break from work. That's when you dive into whatever it is you want to read and do, right? And so my point being is this. The art of life coaching in the book, it will help you to look at yourself where maybe you see things that you couldn't see yourself about yourself earlier. And maybe when people say, I'm just too harsh with people and talk to people like dogs. I don't understand that. Because I can teach you how to begin to mirror yourself to see how you're saying it, what you're truly saying, and to where that way you can understand exactly where the other person's hearing something. And you can say, that's not how I meant it. Well, guess what? I can teach you how to be able to understand how they hear it and what they think you meant. Are you with me? To where you can shift your words around, your attitude, your emotion, to where that way they won't take what you've said the wrong way. They'll know exactly how you said it and what you're meaning through that, right? And so The Art of Life Coaching is one of my most popular books, famous books, when it deals with self-awareness, paying attention to yourself, and going deep within. Because let me tell you something, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, if you're going to be a leader in your church, a leader of life, period, A father, a mother, anything you're going to be is in a leadership role and have success at it, you got to be able to keep a check on yourself and life coach yourself. And I'm going to give you the most genius ideas and techniques in this book to be able to do that. Now, the last book that I love is actually the one that's called You Were Born to Be an Entrepreneur. The reason why I love that book is because I teach people the power, how to begin to take something out of nothing, how to be inventive, how to be able to take your life and make something come out of it. God is an entrepreneur because he was able to say, you know what, I want a world I can create. Bam, he created it. You know, I want a world of people that I can create, this call people that would actually carry on conversations with me. Bam, he did it. God is the biggest CEO and entrepreneur that's ever been on planet Earth. Not that he's on planet Earth, but hey, you know, the universe. And so you have to realize what it means to be an entrepreneur and have to understand actually what it means to be an intrapreneur. An intrapreneur means you're an entrepreneur within someone else's business, and you have the flexibility to make your own decisions based on under the umbrella of that entrepreneur or your CEO, your president, or your manager, your boss, whatever. You with me? So being an entrepreneur, there's a lot more to it. And it doesn't mean even, entrepreneurs does not always mean owning your own business. I'm going to teach you how to be an entrepreneur with your life, to where you do have a take charge mentality that is a healthy way about it. Not a controlling, but a healthy way about it. These books in the leadership package are destined to help every one of you from the inside out, to teach you your identity, to train you how to keep a check on yourself, to know how to start a business, to know what to do, you know, how to respond to situations that might seem steep or very maybe pressuring you to do something, pressuring you to perform. Guess what? You don't have to perform. I'll teach you how to be able to respond to situations eloquently, with decency, with integrity, and excellence. And this leadership package has been one of my biggest sellers of all time because people devour it. They love this. They eat it up. And if you go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and you put in leadership package, those two words, and press the search button, it'll pull up automatically for five of those books, paperback, which we call hardback, that we can ship out to you. And I will autograph those. I will 100% autograph every one of those five books for you before my team ships them out to you. And also, there's also an option there where you can choose to download all five of those books as PDF ebooks. And you can download every one of them right then and there at the present moment. And it's even a little cheaper. But I really want to encourage every one of you. Most people say to me, well, I'm not going to own my own business. Well, that's not the whole gist of the whole leadership package. You know, well, I'm not a leader. Well, you know what? You're missing out on life. Because if you're a mother, you're a leader. If you're a dad, you're supposed to be a leader. If you're an elder in a church, you're still a leader. Are you with me? In fact, let's say this. If you're single and have no children, you're a leader over your sphere of influence, your metron. So don't think for a moment, because I don't have this or I don't have that, doesn't mean you're not a leader. You're a leader. In fact, I'll tell you this. Let me ask you this question before I close in this podcast. How many of you know the duties of a king? How many of you actually know the duties? I mean the full-blown out duties of a priest. I mean, let me tell you something. You think, when you think of priests, you think of priests in the Old Testament, sacrificing the animal. You think of maybe a Catholic priest. You think of maybe, you know, this kind of priest or whatever. The key thing is you don't know that what it means, but yet Jesus called you a king and a priest unto God. And yet, guess what? How did he know that you're not even qualified to be a king and a priest? Because he knew that he's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness inside of you. And all you've got to do is tap into that source of power and awaken you. So guess what? Every one of you are a leader. Every last one of you, God calls a leader. God says you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. That means your qualifications have already been stamped and signed by God. And it also means that inside of you is everything you need to be that leader. And you might say, I don't know the definition of it. Well, let me teach you the book. In other words, let me teach you and awaken the things that are in you to where you can get a jump start on it now. People don't realize that God wants to jumpstart you with knowledge and wisdom. That's why he says, don't suffer from lack of knowledge. Gain wisdom. Knowledge is power. Activated knowledge is even more powerful. So you can activate that and get a jump start in your life by getting a series now and starting on them, as opposed to waiting maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or maybe never, thinking, well, God will just initiate that in me when it needs to, brother. And that's and pardon me for saying this, but that's a lazy, stupid mentality to have. It really is. Because if you're waiting, you're disrespecting something that you know God has presented to you to say, hey, I am bringing this to your awareness and you choose to ignore the awareness of it. Instead, you would rather choose me nudging you, pushing you, or whatever one day, when yet, guess what, then it might be too late. I need you to be a leader now to awaken to that reality of wealth consciousness to where you can begin to go forward and you begin to accomplish and conquer things right now. So go right now to the website, identitynetwork.net, and put in leadership package, those two words. Press the search button, download them or order them, and I'll sign them. Okay, or call the office. If you want to call the office at 205-362-7133, call and say, I want to order a leadership package, and please have Jeremy autograph them for you. These books will set you on fire. It'll set you free from poverty. It'll set you free from being a slave to your life. All right? And I'm going to say this, I'll close with this. Let me say this to you. And I know sometimes the word slave is a trigger word for some people, especially for our African-American families. And I want to be very cautious when I say this, but I think they understand this too, okay, what I'm about to say. I don't care what color you are. If you work 8 to 5 and you allow the boss to tell you when you come in, how much money you're going to make, when you go to lunch, when you take your break, guess what, folks? You are a slave to that master. Hello. Am I telling the truth? You are being a slave when somebody controls you for most of the day of your days, which means that you actually are moving to a slave mentality the majority of the time that you're on planet Earth. Think about that. Isn't it time to set you free to where you make your own decisions and you become the place where you can be either an entrepreneur in another job where you're flexible to be able to be empowering to the job or to be able to release yourself to be the entrepreneur you need to be now? Let me tell you something, folks. It's not fun. I've been there. It's not fun. But you have to face reality because the truth sets you free. And the reality is you're a slave. You're a slave to a boss who tells you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and even tells you when you can actually eat. And on some jobs, like school, on some jobs, would probably even tell you the times in which you can go to the restroom. So, folks, let me tell you something. Don't be a slave. You're not a slave. You're a divine, powerful, created, co-creator with God, servant of God, who is a leader who can hear, who can shift the world, shape your life, shape other people's worlds by awakening them and living the life that you want, with whether it's making money or being free from the system of this world. Then get the leadership package. It'll do you good. All right? You guys have a dynamic day. Thank you, as always, for tuning into our podcast. I love every one of you. I really do. You guys are phenomenal. And that's why I want to be able to feed you guys every week on this podcast, to help each one of you to know the power that's in you and utilize that power. If not, it's just wasted power. You owe it to your life to do something better than sit there. Awaken the power within you and use it today. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.